Hello and welcome to the Tiger's Den. Hey everybody, thanks for joining us on this new episode of the Tiger's Den. Again, I'd just like to thank everyone for the downloads over the first two episodes. This is episode number 3. We have got a lot of news to talk about tonight. We've got football, basketball, baseball, track and field, beach volleyball, gymnastics. We got a good bit to talk about. So, I do also have an apology for you guys, which we'll get to shortly. So stay tuned for that. But let's start off with LSU football. So really just a lot of news flooding out of LSU, especially in football the past few days. First, I guess we need to start with the hiring of a defensive coordinator. So welcome Durante Jones to the Tiger family. Durante Jones, he will be the new defensive coordinator. He's never been a defensive coordinator before. So it definitely should be interesting to see where it goes. I guess let me say he's never been a defensive coordinator of a major college. I think he was a defensive coordinator for smaller schools and maybe in high school level. So, you know, the last episode we were talking about where would they go, and it seems like kind of Coach O went back to really what he did for the offensive coordinators, in that he went to his former defensive coordinator Dave Aranda and sat down with him, and basically Aranda gave him a list of guys he thinks would be good, and Durante Jones, you know, was on that list, and that's where he decided to go. You can kind of see where Coach O is coming from, trying to almost recreate the coaching staff in a national championship team. He went to Joe Brady to hire, you know, his offensive coordinator and passing game coordinator, and now he's going to Aranda to figure out who he wants as his defensive coordinator. It's pretty, I guess, a smart move. The coaching staff is going to be a very young coaching staff, a very, I don't want to say inexperienced, but, you know, they have a lot of coaching experience. You know, Durante Jones was with the Minnesota Vikings, coached D-line for Minnesota Vikings. There's a lot of NFL experience, but not a lot of coordinator experience. You know, you look at the offensive coordinator too, not a lot of offensive coordinator experience. Same for the defensive coordinator, not a lot of defense coordinator experience. So it's a young group of coaches coming in, and it's really when you think about it, it's a pretty big roll of the dice, I think, for Coach O, because as we've spoken before, he's more of a CEO, where he lets his offensive and defensive coordinators kind of do their thing and coach the teams. So, you know, his job's on the line. I mean, a national title is great, but it'll only take you so far. People are going to get impatient when you're bringing in the recruiting classes that you're bringing in, because you're bringing in, you know, top 5 recruiting classes. And, you know, people are going to expect you to win games. We were 500 last year. People are going to expect you to be above 500 this year. And hopefully they can get there with, you know, the schedule they have. And we'll talk about the schedule in a second, because that came out as well. So we'll see if Durante Jones is a good fit or not. He signed a 2-year contract, so they're not locked in really long term. You know, he's got to come in and prove himself. You know, he knows some of the coaching staff, Mickey Joseph, he's close with them. He's close with Corey Raymond. Corey Raymond will continue to coach the cornerbacks. Durante Jones, with being the defense coordinator, is going to coach the safeties. So we'll see what he can do. When they hired him, they still have to or had to hire a linebacker coach and a defensive line coach. Those two positions, or at least a linebacker coach, has been confirmed. And that is going to be Blake Baker. Try to say that two times fast. He is a former University of Miami defensive coordinator. He was a linebacker at Tulane. He was a defensive coordinator at La Tech. So he has a lot of experience. So that's, good to bring him in. I don't think it's been confirmed yet, but Andre Carter, they're looking to bring him in to coach defensive line. He was a first-round pick in the NFL, played with the Patriots for a while. I think he was – the last team he was with was the Jets. He was the D-line coach with the Jets. So you're bringing in a lot of, like I said, NFL experience. You're bringing in a lot of youth to the program, especially on the defensive side, a lot of minority youth, which I think this team really needs. There was some speculation that Coach O kind of maybe lost the team a little bit last year, especially with Pelini, because he kind of backed up Pelini. And then with all of the stuff that happened in our country with minorities and Black Lives Matter and, the LSU players marched, and Coach O didn't really march with them. He met them at the end and of their march. And, that was kind of frowned upon by a lot of teams. So hiring young minority coaches, I think, will benefit him. I think they'll bring a lot of enthusiasm to the team. And I really think that these coaches will be people who the team can get behind, who the defensive players can get behind, because they've played the game at a high level in the NFL. They've coached in the NFL. So, your recruiting point is, hey, come to LSU. We've got these young coordinators. They have NFL experience. They know what it takes to make it to the league and do well in the league. So we'll see where it goes. The clock's ticking on Coach O. And these decisions that he made this year for his offensive and defense coordinator are really going to tell, like I said before, whether or not he's going to be here, for a while. Like I said, these guys are shorter, kind of signing 2-year contracts. I hope we're not in the same situation in 2 years from now. I really do have hope for this team. I hope they do well. I hope Coach O picked the right people to lead this team. So we'll see where it goes. One other move he did make was he brought Austin Thomas back, who's going to be a general manager of the LSU program, football program. He'll help kind of manage day-to-day stuff. He was with the team the national championship year, left to go to Baylor for a while last year, and then now is back with the team. So I feel like that's a good hire as well. Again, a young guy. If you exclude Coach O, I want to say the coaching staff, their average age is 40. So that's a young team. That's a young coaching staff. They're going to have, it's a good possibility to have a learning curve, because none of these guys, like I said, have really coached in the SEC. So it's going to be a little bit of a learning curve. I just hope it's not too much of a learning curve. And, you're coming off a historically bad defense, so you like to say, well, it can't get much worse. And hopefully that's the case. So we'll see if it isn't much worse. I hope that they can coach up these guys. Durante Jones doesn't play a specific 4-3 or 3-4. He kind of mixes it. And, that's what we need. We need a coach that will put our best players in the best position to make plays. So we will see how it goes. I really do think the defensive line is going to be very good if they can get Andre Carter in there. I think he will do a fantastic job with them. So kind of moving on. The schedule came out for the 2021 season for football. Hopefully we can have fans in the stands, because, there's nothing like a packed Tiger Stadium and Death Valley on a Saturday night. I've been to different college football stadiums, not a lot, but a few. And there's nothing like LSU. There's nothing even close to it. So, you know, hopefully we can have fans. This upcoming schedule they released is a full schedule. It is not just the SEC schedule, which I think will kind of benefit LSU a little bit. And, you know, to you know, you always have those games in there where they're not against, they're against smaller teams, and you can get wins and really get players playing time is the big thing. It's not just about the win all the time. It's about getting people experience. And we do have a lot of players coming back, which we discussed before. So it'll be good to have these games. They open up kind of a big game on September 4th against UCLA. Currently, right now, it is scheduled to be in the Rose Bowl. Don't know if that game will get moved or not, depending on COVID in California, but we will see. So that's a pretty big game to start the season off with. You know, it's a good game to start the season off with too. It'll test you early and kind of let you know where you're at. Then they play McNeese, then Central Michigan. You know, Central Michigan isn't a cupcake team. They have a decent team, and they, you know, could be good. Then we get into the heart of the SEC schedule. We go Mississippi State on the 25th of September, Auburn, Kentucky, Florida, Ole Miss. That's a heck of a run right there. You've got one, two, three, four, five games in a row right there where you're playing some tough competition. That Kentucky game is at Kentucky, and you know, it's sandwiched between Auburn and Florida. So you look at that game and you're like, wow, that could be a trap game. You know, when you're sandwiching a team like that in between, you know, two really good teams, it's definitely could be a trap game. And last time I believe we went to Kentucky, we lost, I believe, in double overtime. So, and Kentucky's coming up. You know, they played better last year. Then after the Florida game, you go to Ole Miss, you know, second year under Lane Kiffin. You know, we'll see how they do. They got better at the end of the year. Then, of course, we have our bye before Alabama. I believe Alabama has a bye that week as well. That the game this year is on November 6th. It is in Alabama, so we'll be in Tuscaloosa. So then you go Arkansas, UL Monroe, and Texas A&M to end off the season, and end the season on three games, three home games. So that's pretty good. You don't really have any back-to-back away games. You have the Ole Miss game and the Bama game, which are both road games, but there's a bye in between them. So, you know, it's definitely a daunting schedule, as it is always with the SEC. But, you know, you have some games in there this year. Your McNeese, Central Michigan, UL Monroe, where hopefully you can get some game experience. I like the UL Monroe kind of late in the season. It kind of, I don't want to say gives you a break, but if you have players that are hurt or injured, you know, it gives you a moment to kind of maybe sit them that week and let them rest up to finish the season against A&M and hopefully an SEC championship game and hopefully a playoff game, you know, if we do well. Like I said, it's going to be daunting. You know, you got start the season Mississippi State. That's never going to be an easy game. You know, and then you finish kind of your SEC schedule with Texas A&M and Jimbo. And, you know, we know how that's gone the past few years. So they definitely have a tough road ahead of them, but I like the moves Coach O has made. Like I said, you know, he's kind of trying to rebuild that magic that he had for the undefeated national championship year by hiring coaches that, you know, his former coaches are recommending and run kind of the same offense and defense. So, you know, I said, where do we go? He knew where to go. So, we'll see if it works out. You know, we've got the Super Bowl getting ready to come up. Kind of, and the reason why I bring that up is there's six players in Super Bowl that are former Tigers. That is the most of any school. Three of them are running backs, and Fournette Williams and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Clyde Edwards-Helaire's got actually a chance to really do something pretty spectacular. So in five seasons, let's say Kansas City went to Super Bowl. In five consecutive seasons, or five seasons, he would have won a high school state championship, won a national championship, and won a Super Bowl. That's pretty impressive. You know, good luck to all the Tigers in the Super Bowl. Hopefully y'all stay injury free and bring a championship home to whatever squad you're on. I'm kind of pulling for Kansas City because I don't like Tampa since they're in the NFC South, but be that as it may. So I believe that is all of our football news. We are going to head on over to LSU basketball. All right, so I have to start off this LSU basketball segment with an apology. Last episode, I spoke of Trenton Wofford's hair and how beautiful and magnificent it was, and told you to watch the Kentucky game to see how beautiful and magnificent his hair was. And what does the guy do? He goes and he braids his hair. I'm very disappointed that he did that because I was really digging the way it was before. But he braided his hair, so now it's not out there anymore. I will for sure be on the lookout for when he takes those braids out, and I will be the first to let you know the braids are out. Go check out Wofford's hair yet again. So, just saying, Wofford, please take the braids out. That's all I'm saying. We did play Kentucky. That was the last game we're talking about. You know, we talked about how I thought Kentucky might be a little bit easier of a game. That did not turn out to be the case because we took a loss in that game. You know, LSU, and we'll kind of talk about this with the, you know, the game they won against A&M, but they are just having a rough go of defending the three-point shot. And according to Coach Wade, that's by design. They'd rather contest the higher percentage shots closer to the basket than necessarily contest the three-point shots, who are I guess a lower percentage you know, chance of making those shots. But I would think you got to be able to do both. I mean, other teams do both. I don't understand what the exact issue is. So anyway, against Kentucky, we lost. They were not defending the three very well. They did win, however, in midweek game against Texas A&M. It was kind of an interesting game. You know, we were up by 17 early in the game, and it looked like, okay, you know, we're cruising. We're gonna do a good job, and we are going to win this out, and it's gonna be a good win, pretty much an easy win. Nope. We can't make anything easy at LSU. So by the end of the first half, and really the beginning of the second half, A&M caught up and were winning pretty handily. Now, A&M was knocking down a ton of threes, which brings me back to we were having an issue defending a three-point shot. So they're knocking down all these threes, and eventually did catch up with them. They went dead cold for the last 8 minutes and 50 seconds. You heard that right. 8 minutes and 50 seconds. They scored 0 points, Texas A&M. 0 points, the last 8:50. They just went ice cold. They were trying to shoot from three. They couldn't make anything. They couldn't hit water if they fell out of a boat. LSU ended up winning the game 78-66. So it was good to get back in the win column, especially with the slate of games we have coming up. We have some tough games coming up. We play Texas Tech on Saturday. Texas Tech is a top 10 team. They are ranked number 10. So they are a very good team. If we don't learn to defend the perimeter better, we're going to be in some serious trouble. When we play good teams, as you kind of saw with Alabama, when we play good teams like that, they are going to eat our lunch. So Texas Tech, they play very good defense as well. They crash the boards well. That game will be on Saturday at 1 o'clock. It is on ESPN2. So definitely check it out. Tigers really need a win. Texas Tech is 11-5. We are 11-4. You know, it seems like we can do well and kind of – you can have lapses when you play bad teams. A&M is a bad team. when you play better teams, you cannot have those lapses. When you get into the SEC tournament and into the March Madness tournament, you cannot have those types of lapses like that, where when you're up by 17 and all of a sudden you stop defending and then they just come back. And you could kind of see it at the end of the first, beginning of the second, when we were down. A&M was out hustling us. They were outplaying us. They were moving all around the ball. They were getting offensive rebounds, getting defensive rebounds. They were just outplaying us. It almost looked like we went into slow motion mode or just whatever. You could just see the effort that they were having and the effort that we weren't having. So you can't do that against good teams. And it starts with Texas Tech. Then on Wednesday, we play Bama again. And last time we played them, they were the number 18 team in the country. They beat us 105-75. Now they're the number 9 team in the country. We saw last time they hit threes like you wouldn't believe. They set the SEC record against us last game, hitting threes. You've got to be able to defend the three-point shot in the perimeter. There's no reason why you cannot do that and guard the paint. None at all whatsoever. I get it's his philosophy, and maybe he's not coaching it, but he's going to have to do something, because they're not going to go far if they don't correct this. And then we play Florida right after that next Saturday, and we lost to Florida the last time we played them, 83-79. So three tough games in a row, Texas Tech, Bama, Florida. We've got to come out at least – I'd like to come out 2-1. You know, you can't afford to lose all three of those games. You really can't. And I really think, you know, your best chances, I think, are against Tech and Florida, Bama. And I say that we, you know, for whatever reason, under Will Wade, we have never really played well against Florida. I don't know why. Coach Mike White for Florida, who is a Jesuit alum, class of 95, graduated 1 year ahead of me, he seems to have LSU's number for whatever reason. They can't come away with these next three games with zero wins. So it was a big win for them to get against A&M coming into this game, give them a little momentum. I'm hoping they're practicing guard the perimeter, because they really, really need to step up on that. Cam Thomas has just been insane. He, like we said, he's a true freshman. He's a shooting guard. He's just going off. The kid is just like unshakable. It's got to frustrate other teams just seeing how well he plays and just seeing that he has no emotion on his face at all whatsoever. Scored 28 points against A&M. Was 9 for 9 for the free throw line. He is amazing free throw shooter. He I think he's like 88-90% free throw shooter. He's pretty amazing. He is also a top 10 candidate for the Jerry West Award, which is for an all-around top shooting guard in the nation. Not freshman shooting guard, shooting guard. So freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, top 10 candidate for that Jerry West Award for the top shooting guard in the nation. So that's pretty awesome. You know, I hope we can keep on the winning. And please, God, please learn how to guard a three-point line. Moving on to LSU baseball. Don't have a whole lot for baseball right now. Do have a few things. Our final rankings came out. We're nationally ranked number 10 going into the season. You know, I guess that's kind of where you want to be. Obviously, you'd rather be higher. But, you know, when you're too high, you got a target on your back. And even just being LSU baseball, you have a target on your back. So when you play these midweek games, teams are going to play their best players and they're going to try to come out and beat you. As we've stated before, the pitching staff is going to be their strong suit. Devin Fontenot was named first team preseason All-American. Jaden Hill was named third team preseason All-American. Both are pitchers. So that's going to be our strong suit. Pitching will definitely be good. And, you know, you look at kind of start looking at different positions. I think one of their strengths is going to be their catcher, Milazzo. He is an elite catcher. He is very good behind the plate, can throw people out. At the, you know, batting wise, he's a contact hitter. He's not going to be a power guy, but defensively speaking, he is very much an elite catcher. So looking forward to seeing him behind the plate this year. And like I said, as we get closer to the season starting, we'll be covering the games. Looking forward to that. Kind of along with the baseball, I'll kind of throw in some LSU softball here. They are preseason ranked number 5, so they'll be starting the season ranked 5. I don't know that we'll talk a whole lot about softball, but we might. You know, they're going to be pretty good this year from what I can see. So, you know, I'll let you know when they have games and maybe you can catch them on TV. Anybody who's listening may have daughters that want to watch some girls play some LSU softball. So there's number 5 in the country. So starting preseason. So good for them. We are going to actually not start, but we're going to move on and talk some LSU track and field. Now, I haven't talked about track and field for LSU yet this year. They are always one of the top track and field programs in the country. A lot of their track guys will play football too. That's, you know, been the case. You look at like somebody like Trendon Holiday, who ran track and also played football. But right now, the men's team is number 3 in the country, and the women's team is number 7. That's amazing. They're, you know, in the middle of their track season. One of the track females for high jump, Abigail O'Donohue, she was named SEC Women's Field Athlete of the Week. And she's also number 1 high jumper in the nation. So that's pretty spectacular. They also have a girl, Lisa Gunnarsson, who is number 1 in pole vault in the nation. So great job to those two girls. The women, there are 5 women on the track team. They're in the top 10 in the nation. And there are 5 men in the top 10 in the nation. And their LSU's men's 4x400 relay team is top 10 in the nation. So track and field doing a great job. Keep up the good work and go Tigers. We are going to move on to beach volleyball. Yes, I did say beach volleyball. And why are we talking beach volleyball? For the same reason we talk about LSU gymnastics, because they're good. They're winners. They are coming into the season ranked number 1 in the country for beach volleyball. Everybody from last year's team is coming back. They had a shortened season because of COVID last year, but when the season ended, they were number 1 in the country then too. So they're starting off number 1 this year. If they are on SEC Network at any point, I will be sure to let you know. And we're going to talk about them some because they're good and they're winners. You know, if you really look at LSU, their sports program as a whole, I mean, they're winning all over the place. They are ranked in the top 10 in almost every sport you can think of. So that's just an awesome thing to have. And it's really a testament to the work that Scott Woodward's put in and the work that the coaches have put in to recruit these talented players and athletes to LSU. So that's amazing. Speaking of top LSU programs, we're going to switch gears. LSU gymnastics. So to start, LSU had their meet last Friday versus Georgia. They won. They scored another 197, which is amazing, 2 weeks in a row. Georgia did have a 196. So it was a tight contest, but we pulled it out. Haley Bryant, again, was phenomenal. She is the SEC Freshman of the Week. So I believe the first week she was Freshman of the Week. After the second week, she was just SEC Gymnast of the Week. And now she's the Freshman Gymnast of the Week again. She's doing just amazing. Currently, LSU is ranked, and they are the number 2 team in the country. I believe Florida is 1, and we are 2. So that is amazing. That's just, you know, great for the girls. They were supposed to have a meet this Friday against Auburn, but it has been postponed due to COVID contact tracing issues. But they will be playing. They'll have a meet against Florida on February 12th. It is the Tigers versus Cancer Night. So probably expect a lot of pink going on, some pink leotards and whatnot. That'll be at 6:15 on the SEC Network. And I do believe it is in the PMAC. You know, one thing I want you to kind of pay close attention to when you do watch LSU gymnastics, if you get the chance to, and hopefully you will against Florida, one particular person I think you should pay attention to and watch, and that is Reagan Campbell. She does the beam. She also does floor. But mainly, I want you to watch her on beam. She is the anchor of the main team. She is just, I mean, so magical and smooth in her movements on the beam. I mean, the beam is only, I don't even know how wide it is. I want to say maybe 4 inches. And she is just absolutely magical. She is like poetry in motion. She is just has just this effortless perfection about her beam routine. And she's just truly amazing. Like I said, she's the anchor on that beam squad. So, next time, please watch for her. Like I said, she's just so smooth and so amazing. And she's really just something to just marvel over her technique. I will kind of tease that we will be having a guest soon, possibly as early as next week. And I will say that, I'm not gonna give you hints until, I mean, it's pretty much a done deal that this person's gonna be on the show. So I'm very excited about it. I will say, I will say that is a female, and she may or may not be on the gymnastics team. So you're gonna have to tune in and find out and see. But I will be promoting it once a date and time is locked in because I'm very excited to have this person on. She's just really an amazing person. So anyway, we'll get more into that later. So, I think we covered a lot tonight. There's a lot of exciting things going on around LSU. Kind of to recap, football, very excited about their new coaching staff. Excited and concerned kind of at the same time because we don't know, if they're really any good. And we think they are, but only time will tell. So, kind of excited about that. We talked about LSU basketball, some tough games coming up in these next three games. LSU baseball, it's going to be all about the pitching, and we're going to have to see what the offense can do. Track and field is looking great, ranked high. Beach volleyball, ranked number one. LSU gymnastics, number two in the country. Postponed for this week, but we'll have a meet coming up against Florida the following week. So please continue to listen to our show and download it. I do appreciate every single one of the downloads that I get. It is just a very humbling to see that there are people that want to listen to me because I don't know. It's just pretty amazing to see that most people around my house. I've got a wife and three kids, and none of them listen to me. So it's just amazing to have people download and listen to the show. That's all the show we have for you right now. We want to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling your friends about the Dome Patrol United Network, where you only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts, including the Two Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show, the Dome Patrol Podcast, the BS and Beer Saints Podcast, the Pelican Plunge Podcast, the Premier League Podcast, Taking the Over with Billy Gunn, and the Tiger's Den, which you are listening to now. Follow each show on Twitter, at Dome Patrol PCast, at Dome Patrol UK, BS and Beer Media, at Taking the Over, and for this podcast is at Tiger_podcast. Follow us on Facebook for live streams. Just search for Dome Patrol Podcast. And if you want to listen to the old-fashioned way, you can go to domepatrolpodcast.com. Thanks for sticking with us, and I hope you enjoyed the show. And we will see you on the other side. Good night, Tiger Nation. Locked out of hell.